Tes Amud Aleph on the third line from the top, but we have to look back at the Mishnah Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The last two lines on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph in the Mishnah, so next to the last line, that's what we spent 2 weeks on. Hoisha Shishova Mechavata Tavlin Omayim Amelach Le'isa. So a woman wants to make a cake. She wants to make dough to make a cake. And she takes spices from one neighbor and water from another neighbor and salt from another neighbor. All she has is flour. And she takes all the ingredients from all the neighbors. So the and each person has their own tchum yontif. Everybody has their own tchum. If they all live in the same city, so that everybody has the same tchum. You have Alpai Mama outside of the city limits. But apparently they don't live in the city. They live in the mountains and there's no ear of Pidin. So you don't say the whole ear is Kedalat Ram, then you have Alpai Mama outside of it. Everybody lives separate, so they have this woman has her tchum and this one has her tchum. They're only permitted to carry the cake that they baked with all of these ingredients. You're only permitted to carry the cake in the area that's the overlap, that it's both the tchum of the one who mechaveta. One woman gave her all the ingredients and she gave the flour. So only keraglishtein, he can only carry the cake in that area where they both have the tchum. So the Gemara had a whole discussion. That's where we had quite a difficulty learning this Shverish Tikkun Gemara Lamed Ches on the base. The Gemara asks, why don't you say Bittul Beroiv on the tablet and the Mayim and the Melach? What is more than 50%? Since the flour is the first ingredient in this cake, it's more than 50%. So I should say the tablet and the Mayim and the Melach should all be Bittul Beroiv. So the Gemara gave a Shver answer. That was a complicated thing. So Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah says exactly that. Rav Yehuda pointed the Mayim and Peshein Ben Mamish. He sounds like he says in the Mishnah, you don't have to worry about the one who gave the Mayim, because Ein Bo Mamish means that it's less than 50% is bottle beroy. He holds that it is bottle beroy. Zog the Gemara. So now the Gemara on the top of Lamed Tesam and Aleph is going to have a discussion of Rav Yehuda's opinion. So they quote Rav Yehuda, Mayimen Melach Loi. Rav Yehuda just says you can ignore the water because it's less than 50%. But it sounds like the Tanakhama, what was the case that we were describing? She took from the neighbor Tavlin Mayim Umelach. So Rav Yehuda says if all she took from the neighbor would be Mayim, you can ignore it, Batul Beroy. But the Melach that she took from the neighbor, that's a problem. Then you have to worry about you can only carry the cake in the area that's the overlap. That's what it sounds like. Mayim, and only Mayim is bottled the right. But the Melach is not bottled. I go Hatanya, but you have a Brisa that presents Rav Yehuda's opinion as saying not so. Rav Yehuda, Eimer, Mayim Melach detailim beim beisa beim bigdeiro. Bottled the right. Rav Yehuda holds exactly what the Gemara asks. Why didn't the Tanakhama hold like that? He holds like the Kasha. He holds that it is bottled the right. So this the chastira, and for the Gemara, like Kasha, the Melach Sedoy, Mishav the Melach is Tirokness. It all depends on different kinds of salt. Let's say when you buy the pretzels, the big pretzels in the store has big chunks of salt on the outside. So what should I have to say? Bittul Beroy. There's no Tarulis. It's the end. That's step number one. You can only discuss Bittul Beroy if you have a roiv of something and a miot of the other thing and it's ain't a nicker. But if it's nicker, a chunk of salt, if you have salt that dissolves, that melts away and it dissolves in all the ingredients. Then Rav Yehuda says in the Brisa, "My mamal b'teilim is a bottle b'roiv." Ben Yisa, they a bottle b'roiv. So you just follow the roiv and there's no chashash of tchumen. But if you have the other kind of salt, that's a chunk of salt at the end, it doesn't dissolve. So then that's what Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah is alluding to. He says you can ignore the water, but from the mashmoyes advarim, it sounds like you cannot ignore the salt. He's talking about salt that's a chunk of salt. Shaz, which salt is the bien and which salt is the salt that dissolves? So here, the Rishonim have two pshatim. Rashi says one way, and I think the Rabbeinu Hananel says the other way, but it doesn't make a difference. Which the melach sedomis is the one that dissolves, and the melach is tiroknis is the one that doesn't dissolve. So Rashi writes, melach sedomis daki himiyodu betela, it dissolves, and this tiroknis is the chunk. And I think one of the other Rishonim, maybe Rabbeinu Hananel, I forgot about it. One of the other Rishonim says faker. But it doesn't make a difference. It just means when it dissolves, it's bottled, right? Yeah, sure. Freg, okay, so it's good. So we understand Rav Yehuda. Freg the Gemara Kasha, but we still didn't finish everything. Ivo Hatanya, we have another Brisa. that seems to contradict the first price. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mayim Umelach Betelim Be'isa Ve'im Betelim Begdeira. Wait a minute. The brisa, the first brisa that we just read says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mayim Umelach Betelim Be'im Be'isa Ve'im Begdeira. That the water and the salt is less than 50%. So it's bottled whether you mixed it into Isa Dal to make a cake out of it, or bread, challah, whatever. Ve'im Begdeira. Begdeira means you're making soup, making cholim. Samaychel, Akdeira. So in the first brisa it says that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is Mayim HaMelech is bottled b'ray both in Issa and Igdeira. And the second brisa it says not so fast. Mayim HaMelech, according to Rabbi Yehuda, bottled in an Issa, Deinim B'teilim B'Igdeira, but it's not bottled in a soup, Nipnei, right for, because the whole soup is the main part of the soup is that it's a liquid. So how can you say that water is bottled b'ray b'adarab, but the water is more than 50%, I mean, the main ingredient. It's so liquidy. So how come there's a contradiction? In the first brisa, they quote Rabbi Yehuda as saying the Mayim HaMelech is bottled even in a Gedera. And for the Gemara, there are different kinds of Gedera. It depends what you're making. If you're making soup, so the main ingredient is water. So you can't say that the water is bottled, right? The main thing is the water, more than 50%. But if you're making a pesach cholent, or you're making a pudding or something, it's over. The Gemara says, loy kasha, no contradiction. What is the Gedera? Hobe over, hobe rako. If it's raka, a liquidy soup, so then the water cannot be bottled. But if it's of, it's a thick thing. You have a little bit of water in there, it shouldn't be too thick. But the water is clearly less than 50%, so then it's bottled the right. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda says, like the kasha. Rabbi Yehuda says, like the kasha that we broke our head on for 2 weeks, that the whole Gemara had a whole discussion. Rabbi Yehuda says it's bottled the right, and you don't apply tam ki ikir because it's not an isa macholos asur. It's talking about a din of kumin. By taking chutz l'tchum, so, true, if you'll eat the cholent, you'll taste the flavor of the salt, or if you'll eat the bread, you'll have the flavor of the salt or whatever it is that they put in. But you don't apply the principle of tam ki ikir if it's not an issue of macholos asur. It's an issue of chumin. So tam ki ikir doesn't apply. So maybe you say it's bottle berayin. Right? I think that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, and we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like the Tanakhama. So none of those things are bottle berayin. So that was the problem. Why? The Taisa said in the beginning, why don't you say because it's Dovish Eshlam Atirit, wait till after Abdullah, so there won't be any problem, you can take it wherever you want. So Taisa said no. Taisa quoted the bottom Taisa on Lamed Chesam and Allah, quoted the Yerushalmi, that the Ochim Farish behead you be Yerushalmi. The second line that when do you say, that's what it says in Yeriday. This place is quoted.
It's a Vahetah.
That you only say Dovish Eshlam Atirit is not Batel if it's Min B'Minoi. But if it's Min B'Shein Aminoi, then it is Batel. So here we're talking Min B'Shein Aminoi. They mixed in Mayim and Melech into Issa. So it's like Min B'Shein Aminoi. So why don't you say that it's Batel? That was the Kasha. So the Gemara gave a Shver answer. The Gemara, they were breaking their heads. They started to kvetch. So first they said, the Mammon is not Batel. Fine. The Mammon is not Batel is true. The Mammon is not Batel. But we're not talking about the Mammon. We're talking about the Issa, the Heter that depends on the Mammon. And the Gemara's Maskana is that even though Mammon is not Batel, any Issa, the Heter that depends on Mammon is Batel. So let it be Batel. So the Gemara gave a Shver answer. It's considered min b'mina with respect to Dovish Eshlam Atir. Very Shver answer. That's how we pass. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds like the Kasha of the Sugya, and we pass like the Tanakhama that it's not so. Shver of
Ot.
What the Dovish Eshel Matir, and this is going to become Mutta by itself. Automatically it's going to become Mutta. I mean, it should be more Chomer. There should be more Chomer. Igmar has, let's say, Igmar has, if you have Maisa Sheni Chutzli Yerushalayim, it's not Bata because of Dovish Eshel Matir, and if you want, you can be Paidid. If you want, you can bring it to Yerushalayim. So why say that it's Bata Beroy? That's a different kind of Dovish Eshel Matir. Maybe. I don't remember in Yerudeya that they distinguish. I don't remember that in Yerudeya they distinguish between the two. They just say in Yerudeya that the definition of min b'mina for Dovish Eshel Matir is not the same as it is in Hilchos Tarubis. A different definition. Okay. The next Mishnah gives us a chance to breathe. Not so hard. Okay. The next Mishnah is the same. Rather, today I had a very interesting experience. There's a young man in Bayit Began, who's known as the Sochet Shavarem. So he happened to be visiting in America. So he came to the yeshiva to talk and learn. So we got it. So we were talking about this, the Avnei Nezer was a Sochet Shavu Rebbe who was a great gun who wrote Shadus Shuvas that everybody uses. Everybody used Avnei Nezer. So he had a son that this Rebbe is named after, who is his sefer is known as the Shemish Mu. So the Shemish Mu is Droshes on Chumash and the Yomim Tov. It's all Droshes. In the middle of the Droshes, once in a long while, he says a vort of halacha. He has one very shver avot of halacha. So I started to chat to the Rebbe. He's a little younger than me. I started to chat to him. So I said, there's a very difficult Shemish Mu that he quotes from his father, from Avnei Nezer. There is a din that if a Jew buys pots and pans or silverware from a nachri, so the din is you have to be toivelet in a mikveh. Klei seuda, kelim, glare says. Min haTorah, the Gemara says on the last daf in Avodah Zarah, midderaisa, the mitzvah tefilas kelim only applies to metal. So if you have silverware or pots and pans that are made from metal, that's a mitzvah min haTorah to be toivelet in a mikveh before you cook food and before you use it. And with the Rabbanon, they made a chumer that you even have to be toivel kleis chuchis as well. Okay. So this only applies if it once belonged to a goy and you purchased it from a goy. So mitzvah tefilas kelim. So the Avnei Nezer has the following shaila. Now it comes up every month in a Donishtay. A person was a goy and he decided he wants to convert. So he threw out all of his trefer kelim and he starts, from now on, he only has kosher food in his kelim. So now the shaila is, he converts. So does he have to be toivel his kelim? The kelim used to belong to him. It used to belong to a goy. Now the kelim belonged to a Jew. Because he just converted.
Why not?
Of course he has to be toivel his kelim. So the Shemish Shmuel quotes in the name of his father, Avnei Nezer, that since the goy was toivel in the mikveh, his tefillah in the mikveh is oiler for the kelim. It doesn't make any sense. So the mocker that he quotes here is the Mishnah in Laman Zayin Amar Al. You see that the kelim of the person have the same status as the person. It's not a joke. What is it? So I asked him, this is a hot joke. What kind of lotion is that? So he says, well, he quotes another market. The Rebbe said, well, he quotes another market. The other market has nothing. I already forgot the other market. The other market has also nothing to do with it. The other market is a gemara in the end of Temurah. If you have a behemah, a female behemah, a cow which is pregnant, has an uber inside, and the mother becomes nitra, for someone breaks the leg of the mother in such a way it becomes a trefa. So the Gemara discusses when the mother becomes a trefa, it does not affect the uber physically. So the Gemara has a discussion. If you say uber yarechima, so the uber also becomes a trefa. Alright, uber yarechima. So the halacha, part of the mother. So the mother becomes a trefa. So he says, just like the trefas and the mother can affect the uber, even though the uber is medically, biologically not affected, so the tvila neger is oiler for the kelim. What's the tushta? If you say uber yarechima, inside, the uber is inside the mother. It's biologically one unit. What does it have to do with it? So I wanted to chat to him. So I said, the Dayan Grosner. I said, yeah, I knew Dayan Grosner. Dayan Grosner used to be a Dayan in London, and then he retired to Yerushalayim, and he lived near him in Beit Hagan, I think. So Dayan Grosner has a tshuva about this. What's halacha maisa? We have a lot of non-Jews convert. So he says, it really doesn't make any sense. You really should require tefillah. But the Rebbe Gezok said, you don't need tefillah, so you should be toivel on abrach. So out of respect for the Sochet Shavu Rebbe, out of respect for the fact that the Shemish Mo quotes it from the Sochet Shavu Rebbe, so he says you should be toivel with abrach. So he tells me, yeah, the Rebbe tells me, yeah, he saw that Tzitz Eliezer also writes the same, out of respect for the, even though it doesn't make any sense, out of respect for the Sochet Shavu Rebbe, that you should be toivel on abrach. But they say you should be toivel. They don't say like he said, you don't have to be toivel. He didn't give me any more clarification. He didn't get any further.
No,
huh? No, that's not his fault. He was named after the Shemish Shmuel. He's a young man. He was named after his grandfather, the Shemish Shmuel. As it happens, what did he tell me? His grandmother was a descendant of the Beis Halevi, of the Soloveitchik family. How was that? His great grandfather, his grandmother's father, was a son-in-law of the Beis Halevi. And he was a Rav in, huh? He was a Rav in Tel Aviv. I forgot the name. Tell me the name. Shrank, I guess. Oh, yeah? Didn't even know. Anyway, that's this Mishnah. Habeb HaKelem Kirag La'abaylam. How it has a Sheikhus with the Ger Vesach Mishnah. Anyway, the next Mishnah is an easy Mishnah. We learned the din is over here. What's this din? On Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph, in the Mishnah, the first line on Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph in the Mishnah. Abayim Vakelim Kirag Labayim. That if there was a Machlekes Satanoim, we had it referred to here. On Lamed Ches on the day, six lines, seven lines from the bottom, the Gemara quoted the Machlekes, Rabbi Yechonim Ben Nuri is the Tanner. Rabbi Yechonim Ben Nuri and everybody else. Rabbi Yechonim Ben Nuri says not only if a person, a Jewish person, has a Tchum Shabbos and a Tchum for Yontif, so whatever is his property has the same chum as him. Hateva hakelim kiragle habaylim has the same chum as the owner. Even nichsei hefker, if you have a tree and the apples fell off in the tree and they're sitting on the grass, they don't belong to anybody. Nobody picked it up yet. It's sitting on a highway. Shal hefker, that's kind of shvisa there, and you can't take it chutz l'chum. That's Rabbi Yechon Menuri's opinion. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yechon Menuri. We paskin it's only hateva hakelim kiragle habaylim. If it belongs to somebody, so the tchum, a Jewish person has a tchum. A goy doesn't have a tchum, and hefka doesn't have any tchums. If the property belongs to a yid, so the tchum that the balabas has applies to the property that he has. So now the Mishnah continues on that theme. Allah mitasam ad alaf hagacheles kirag le'abayla. A person owns coals, let's say in his oven, he has coals and he's cooking. So the coals are part of his property. He owns svarim and he owns behemoths, and he owns the food, and he owns cake and cookies and whatever, and he owns coals. So you're not permitted to take the coal chutz l'tchum of its owner. What about however hashal heves, the balabos, the bench is licht on erev yontif, and the candles are burning. So then the next door neighbor doesn't have a match, so she comes in and she lights, let's say in the middle of yontif, middle of leil yontif, she lights a candle from the candle that we have in our home. And the neighbor has their own tchum. We don't live in the same city that everybody has the same tchum, alpaimam, around the city. We live in the country and everybody has their own alpaimam. So someone comes into my home and they light a candle, they don't have anything to light a candle, they walk back to their home, five blocks away. So do you say that since they lit the flame from my flame, and the flame has my tchum because the flame belonged to me, so it has my tchum, so they have to be careful not to take this flame, chutz l'tchum of the original owner. So it says, no, a gacheles. If they take a coal, the coal belongs to me, that's a davar she'yesh bo mamash. Because a physical object, a tangible object, so that has the same tchum, kirag le'habaylam, the owner. Hashal heves b'chol mokum. The shal heves you can take wherever you want. It doesn't have any, it's not restricted with my tchum. Shal heves is not a tangible object that you should say it has the same tchum as the owner.
Why is it not the mentioned?
No, in contrast. In contrast to the Shalheves, the Gacheles is a
different than cooking.
Yeah, exactly the same, right. Just in contrast to Shalheves, so it says Gacheles is the normal, and Shalheves does not have the din. And then the Mishnah continues to say another two dinim that are a repeat of the same din, but it's not in the area of Kumin, it's in other areas. Gacheles Shal Hegdish. If whatever Hegdish possesses is Kodesh, or Tanisa Moyel Behegdish, and a private person is not allowed to use it for his own purposes. So somebody comes to Beis HaMikdash and they take a Gacheles that belongs to Hegdish and he gambles it, he takes it for his own purposes. So that's a violation of Me'ilah. So Moyelim Bo, there is a deed of Me'ilah. So if he's Moyel B'Shoigeg, you have to pay care of Mechaimish and you have to bring Hasham Me'ilahs. One of the six Hashams is Hasham Me'ilahs if you name him in a Hegdish B'Shoigeg. What if it shall have this? Let's say Hegdish has a candle burning in the Beis HaMikdash and someone comes and they light a cigarette from the flame. They don't take the candlestick, they don't take anything, they light a flame, or they light another candle and they go by it. Then someone lights another candle for that, they light another candle for that. So you say they're moiled by Hegdish because they're using the flame of Hegdish, the flame belongs to Hegdish. So the Mishnah says, Lay Nehenim, Lay Moilim. Lich, Atchil, it's also to get Hanoah. But for the Evid, if you got Hanoah, there's no penalty of Me'ilah. What's the loy nehenin? The yisrael hatchilah that you're not allowed to get. No, so Rashi says it's only midirabbanan. Shall have is loy nehenin lahatchilah midirabbanan. You're not allowed to be nehenin midirabbanan. There are many, many mishnayos like that in Maseches Me'ilah. Me'ilah is a separate mesichta. Me'ilah is a very complicated mesichta. They say Rabbeinu Soloveitchik had so much Torah on Kachim, and he said Me'ilah he couldn't figure out, couldn't make out heads or tails. None of his Torah worked out of Me'ilah. So he doesn't have any. Doesn't have anything on Me'ilah. Very little. On all the Zaitiga topics, on the things that are really Me'ilah, he has very little. So this Mishnah, this Lashon appears many times in the Mishnayos and Me'ilah, that something is Hegdish, but it's only Loi Nehenim, Loi Moilim. Look, Hatchili, you're not allowed to get Anon, but B'di'evet, you got Anon, so there's no Din of Me'ilah. So if there's no Din of Me'ilah, B'di'evet, so why is there an Issa L'Hatchila? So most of the places we assume that, it, like Rashi said, it's only lechatchila midrabban. The loynanin is only also lechatchila midrabban. It's not that usually the isa moel behegdish is an isa deraisa. The Gemara says you get malchus. A person who's moel behegdish b'meizid gets malchus because it's an isa deraisa. But in all these cases that it says loynanin lamalim, the ruba of the cases, everybody agrees that it's only midrabban. Then it says a third din, which is basically the same. So why is that there's a difference between Gachelus, Shal Hegdish, and Shal Heves? Right, to the same thing. Gachelus, Dovish, Eishbom, Mamish, that is ownership, not on Gachelus. And the Shal Heves is a Dovish, Eishbom, Mamish. A Nigin, let's say, somebody composed a Nigin, and Hegdish bought the rights to the Nigin, the sole rights, and then someone else is playing the Nigin. So Moel the Hegdish is playing the Nigin. What's Moel the Hegdish? They own the rights. Someone, let's say, Hegdish published a book, they're selling it in the store, they have a copyright. So someone's going to violate the copyright, and they're going to reprint the book, and they're going to make $1 million on the book. It's an Eastern Moel Behegdish. A violation of the copyright laws, but you can't say it's Moel Behegdish. It's ownership like intellectual property. Hegdish owns the Shalheves, but you can't say the Shalheves, Shal Hegdish. You have no right to light your cigarette from it unless you get permission from Hegdish. But if you did, you can't say it's Moel Behegdish. There's no tangible. I mean, the Bissamim belong to Hegdish and I smell.
Right.
So then the Gemara says there is Me'ila.
You're not taking my time.
The Gemara says, Kol the Mare. The Gemara splits it. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shur ben Levi says, Kol Mare Reach, there's no Din Me'ila. But the Gemara splits it. The Gemara says, Kol the Mare. Let's say the Levim are playing beautiful music in the Beis HaMikdash, and I sit and I listen and I enjoy it. So the Gemara says, there's no Me'ila there because ain't bo mamish. And Mare, let's say the Beis HaMikdash has a painting or the building itself looks so beautiful and I sit and I look at it and I ooh and ah and I have such anah from looking at it, so that's Mare. So call it Mare, is ain't more mamish and there's no mila. Reyach, the Gemara says, is yesh more mamish. The particles, the little particles reach my nose and I smell. So the particles come from the Dovish Al Hegdash, so they're really... Reichel Av Milsa means a different thing. It's a totally different thing. So the Gemara says, Reyach, there's no mila. When Rabbi Shimon Levi says, Reyach, there's no mila. That's only by K'toris Lachash Atalatim Rosa. When they brought the K'toris in the Beis HaMikdash, every day they had to burn K'toris Machtzisa Baboyke Machtzisa Bein Abayim. Like Tomei Shoshacha, Tomei Shol Bein Abayim. And Chavita Kengorul, half in the morning, half in the evening. So K'toris was also brought twice a day. K'toris has a very fragrant aroma. It smells very pleasant. So after they burn it on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, on the Mizbeach HaK'toris, and they're already Mekayim the Mitzvah, so ein lecha dovish in asis mitzvaso yemoylem bo, it's already in this kaima mitzvaso. So the Gemara says, then if somebody smells it, there's no violation of milu, because kvar is kaima mitzvaso. But if you'll smell the k'toris before you burn it, or you smell psamim that belongs to Hegdish, then there is a violation of milu. That's how the Gemara says, it's a pele de gezach, why Rabbi Shulman Levi puts the two together. He says, kol amare reich, have no milu. It's not the same, kol amare is no milu, because ein bo mamish. It's not tangible, and Reach is yesh bo mamish, but the reason why there's no meal is because lachash and asis mitzvasa, lachash shetalat and rosa, after you burnt it.
You have to do ma'aseh.
In order to violate the meal, you have to. Why, by what?
He walks over specially
in order to smell.
Then what talks about?
The shir is shavei pruta. The Shir Shavei Pruta for Me'ilah, the Nesibis of Chashem Mishpat, has a famous comment, why is the Shir Shavei Pruta? That's what it says in Mishnah is the Me'ilah. So the Nesibis says, because the basic prohibition of Me'ilah is really Gzela, bottom line. Because you're gazling from Hegdash. Shavei Pruta is a shearing Gzela.
Still, it belongs to Hegdash. And what I think is asking about a woman that could do something in Yerushalayim because there was so much light available, but I don't remember what. Isha Berer is something.
Isha Berer is Chitim L'Arshal Beis
HaShe'eva. Oh.
Yeah. That's a Gemara in Sukkah, that by Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, they used to have big menorahs, they used to shed so much light. So it says, Isha Berer is Chitim, a woman would be able to remove the pebbles and the sand and the dirt, because these lights in the Beis HaMikdash lit up all the streets and all the guest halach in Yerushalayim. The Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi Estakasha that why isn't a violation of Me'ilah? So the Yishalmi says that kol maravarechein ben mishul me'ila. And the Babli asked Akasha, isn't it me'ila? So the Babli answers, I think that it was so much light, they would have been able to be barerechit, but they weren't. They weren't barerechit. So that's the question that seems to be a machalik of the Babli and Yishalmi when you say kol maravarechein ben mishul me'ila, means that it's hetta gomer? Or it means that is there an isa lachatchila midirabana? So that seems to be a machlokes as the Babli and Yerushalmi. The Chassidish Svarim, they say isha barer shchitim means that the shchina is the isha removes the chatoim from Bnei Yisrael. It's an additional level of interpretation in the Mishnah, but that's not what the Babli or the Yerushalmi says. The Babli Yerushalmi says goes isha barer shchitim, chitim is chitim.
When the Mishnah is talking here, talking about the difference between a
Gamera and then I think there's another Gemara in Tomid. There's another Gemara in Tomid that they used to burn the Ktoris every day. So it says a Kala who got married in Yerushalayim never needed to put on perfume because the whole Yerushalayim smelled so wonderful because of the Reach HaKtoris. So the Kalas never needed any, the women never needed any psalm. That's Lacha Shetala Timrasif, so there's no Me'ilah. Okay.
Over here, when the Gemara makes a difference between Gachelas and Shalhevas, there must be a basic difference. That the Gachelas, it takes away something. The Shalhevas from a Chachaektish, remains as before.
Right.
So there is no reason at all why Shalhevas is a common, or there should be an Isamilu.
Right.
What did he do? He left the Shalhevas alone.
Right. He lit from it, right, lit from it. So midirabbanan this thing though. No, but it says midirabbanan leinenin. Midirabbanan, you're not allowed a light from the shalhevis of Hegdish. Mikiradin deraisa, there's no isa at all. But midirabbanan, Rashi says, leinenin lachatchila midirabbanan. But if you were nenin, then there's no penalty of, there's no karamachayim is an oshek. And the third din is also repeat of the same, it's all the basic, the same, repeat of the same din. Hoitso on Shabbos. You're not allowed to carry a nushus arabim on Shabbos, it's only a nisa, you're not allowed to carry a tangible object. So if someone carries a coal from one place to the other, that's a violation of hoitzor. What if someone has a flame, and the flame is near the street, and somebody blows the flame, say if you blow the flame out and it gets extinguished, that's a violation of mechaber. He doesn't blow to the extent that it gets extinguished. He succeeds in, basically takes a knife, or he blows in such a way the flame remains in kaimai, and another half of the flame floats out into the street, goes floating away a couple of feet, and then the stomach goes out. So is there a violation of hoitzor that he carried from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRab? So the Mishnah says, Bosfar hoitzor, it's a Dovah Shem Bamamish. There's no tangible object. Hamotzi gachelis Rishus HaRabim, if he carry out a gachelis, it's a tangible object. But there's no violation of hoitzor on a shalhebis. The shalhebis part, because Dovah Shem Bamamish, you can't talk about hoitzor.
By
Rea
as a
mom. Put
your hand in that shell. It's more tangible for me than Rea.
Spangled. I
would say spangled. How do you differentiate a Rea? I don't know. What does it mean, shalhevis? He lit a candle from the flame of Hegdish, and then he goes weiter. So now he's going to read La'ora Ne'er. If he reads La'ora Ne'er of Hegdish, it may be that it is Me'ila. Or is that Mara? I don't know. What does Mishal Havis, there's no Me'ila? Means if he lights another flame from the flame of Hegdish and he walks away and he's nana from that flame is Chulin. This flame is Hegdish. This, like you say, this flame remains here. The flame of Hegdish remains here.
Nothing
didn't change.
Just
makes another.
Nothing depreciates.
Yeah. The new flame doesn't have any Me'ila on it. It says lechatchila midirabbanan you're not allowed to loynen lechatchila midirabbanan because it doesn't look right. But strictly speaking, it's a garnish min garnish. You didn't min atera is nothing wrong. Mechaber mavir, yeah. If you make it higher, is mavir. You make it lower, is mechaber. One to the other is also havar. Havar is not only to strike a match to create. It's not only to create a fire. If you have a fire and you light another thing, is also havara. If I throw logs into the fire, is also havara. Don't know.
A lot of it is if you take away, if you have a payload around the body, and you take away some of the payload, you take away two of the
diminishing.
You take away five from another body, you have the diminishing.
That's Gemara in Beitza we had earlier. If you have oil that has a wick on top and it's burning, you put in a spoon, or you take out part of the oil, or you put in a pipe or a straw. So then Taisa says, because you diminish it a little bit, that's not mechaba, because it's going to go out a half an hour earlier. That's not mechaba. If I have a candle, Taisa says, and I cut off the bottom inch of the candle, it's going to go out an hour earlier, that's not mechaba. So what's wrong if I take out part of the oil? So it'll go out an hour earlier. So why is that mechaba? So Taisa says, as you take it out, the flame diminishes a little bit. So it diminishes now, that's mechaba. But if it doesn't diminish at all, just that it's going to go out earlier, that's the Taisa on Chabbeis and Menal.
Did you say the other day that it is not acceptable to put some water, a little bit of water, underneath the candle?
When you bench licht on Erev Shabbos, that's the Taisus in the last stop in Kiro, in Perikiro,
And this is Aloha?
I think it's Gordon Shulchan Aruch, that you're not supposed to put, because it looks like Mechaba. Because on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it. What's wrong on Shabbos? Because you may put it, was it Shlecht on Shabbos? You didn't do anything? So Taisus explains the Gemara, you may put the water, punkt at the time that a spark is flying down, and you'll put the water, so you'll cause the spark to go out a second earlier than it would have
Friday
done.
Friday, when you come and light your candle.
Right.
Yeah, so you cannot. You are not supposed.
You're
to
not
put
supposed to put water in the bottom, so that when the candle goes to the bottom, it should go out. It shouldn't smoke. Right. So Tyson says you're not allowed to. That's all exerid that he may do it on Shabbos at the time. He may bring the bowl of water on Shabbos at the time that the spark is flying down. So the spark is going to get extinguished anyway when it hits the table. But by putting the water, it's going to get extinguished a second earlier, so that's mechaba. So you're not allowed to do it on Erev Shabbos, exactly that you may do it on Shabbos.
I think it says somewhere that if you have a keli, you can put water underneath the oil so that the oil
should be higher.
Should be higher.
Yeah.
So this is the same thing, isn't it?
I think it depends what your intention is. If you want to make the oil higher, that's mutter. But if you want to extinguish the flame, that's also exactly that you may do it on Shabbos. I think that's the difference. Here the Gemara quotes a Tosefta from Beitza that repeats the same three dinim as the Mishnah with another two dinim. So it adds them all up together, makes five. Chamisha dvarim namru bigachelus. There are five dinim where we distinguish between gachelus, a kol, as opposed to the shalhevus, the flame. So the first one is the first in the Mishnah. Ha gachelus kiragli habaylim. A kol is a tangible object, so it has the same tchum as its owner, as opposed to shalhev. That's a double portion, it's like the cookies. That means as opposed to ha shalhevus b'chol mokim. A flame, if someone else lights a candle for my, I have a candle that has this tchum yontif. I'm not allowed to take it chutz l'tchum. On Shabbos you can't carry it anyway. It's hoitzor. But on yontif you're allowed to carry it, but you can't take it chutz l'tchum. So the other fellow lights his candle for my flame. So it's his flame now. The flame isn't kind of shvisa. I don't have a copyright on the flame. It doesn't belong to me. So the flame is not kind of shvisa by me. So that's the first line in the Mishnah. Gachela shel hegdish, that's the second din in the Mishnah. It's right there to repeat here. Gachelus al hagdish moilin, but it's a tangible object. Has a regular din of meila. Yichayv kerem uchaim mishenoshim if you moil, as opposed to shalhevis loy nene v'loy moilim. Lachatchila it's also to get anoa, but b'diavad if you got anoa, you don't pay kerem uchaim mishenoshim. Now the next din does not appear. Next two dinim do not appear in the Mishnah. Gachelus al avodizore. The din is avodizore is also b'hanoa. If anybody gets anoa from avodizore, so the Gemara says that you get malchus. Gemara in Psochim and the Gemara in Beitza, the Gemara Makis, Rashi quotes the way Rashi says in Rashi Dvarim Yud Gimel. It says Layidbak Biyotcham Uma Menachem Grada. That pasuk Layidbak Biyotcham Uma Menachem is in connection with Eretz Yidachas. It says when the city in Eretz Yisrael, where the majority of the people worship the Avodah Zarah, and has all the conditions of Eretz Yidachas, which is highly unlikely. One time it says it's impossible. It's so improbable that it probably never was and never will be. It only has a day of Eretz Yidachas. If the majority, a city in Eretz Yisrael, the majority of the people worship Avodah Zarah, and there isn't even one mezuzah in the whole city. There's not even one mezuzah in the whole city. So that's why one Tana says it never was and it never will be. So the pasuk says you have to burn down all the houses, even the houses of the tzaddikim who live in the city. Even the tzaddikim,
the children, kill the children.
If the children worship Avodah Zarah.
Yeah,
usually a child before bar mitzvah worships Avodah Zarah is off the hook. He's not a bachayuvah. But here, the Tosefta says like that. The Tosefta says you only kill the children if they worship the Avodah Zarah. So the Chiddush is that you treat them like Nochrim. That by Bnei Noach, there's no halacha bar mitzvah before bar mitzvah, after bar mitzvah. By Bnei Noach, the din is if the kid has enough seichel to understand that he did a crime, then you give him the Einish Misa. If he doesn't have seichel, then he's a lot by that, so you don't punish him. So if the kid had seichel to know that not to worship Avodah Zarah, and he worshipped Avodah Zarah, then the Chiddush is he killed Tapam. He killed the wives also. What do you mean you kill the wives? That's not shvet. What do you mean you kill the wives? The wives have to have hasra, no? What does that mean in the pasuk? You kill the wives of the Anshir and Idachas. They didn't do Avodah Zarah, you kill the wives. And they did do Avodah Zarah. So what's the chiddush? Kill them even though they're not bas mitzvah? That's what it means.
They should have left the city, no?
Huh?
In other words, the reason you kill them is because they should have left the city. Yeah,
yeah, but what does that mean? What does that mean? You kill the wives means the wife means the wife worshipped Avodah Zarah. So if she worshipped Avodah Zarah, no, so of course he gets me. It means she's not bas mitzvah. That's the chiddush. He's married to a girl that's not bas mitzvah. So you treat everybody there like Bnei Noach. Like Bnei Noach. Even though the wife and the children are not bar mitzvah, she's not bas mitzvah, she can't have children. But it means either wives or children. The children are not bar mitzvah, get an Einish Misa, and if the wife is not bas mitzvah, but she worshipped Avodah Zarah, she gets an Einish Misa. If they didn't worship Avodah Zarah, you don't give them an Einish Misa. That's a discussion that the Rishonim have. In the days of the Rishonim, the Balei HaTosfot lived through all the several of the Crusades. Some of them, they didn't all live through the Crusades. A lot of them were killed by the Crusaders. A lot of them were called Rabbeinu Ochanan HaKadosh, the son of the Ri, was the Kadosh. He was killed by the Crusaders.
Mordechai, I believe, also.
Yeah.
Mordechai,
he also killed.
He and his wife and children, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So they have a shot. Some of the Balabatim, some of the people, to save their lives, converted to Christianity in order to save their lives. And then when the Meshugoyim left, so then they went back to Yiddishkeit. So there is a din in Ovis the Reb Nosson, which is quoted in Yerba Day, that if a Yid converted to another religion, and then he decides he wants to be a Yid again, so he has to go through Geirus. It's a real din. So the Goyim hold that's a real din, their Isa. When a Jew converts to another religion, Veta Ois Yid. Yishkin Yid. He's not Mechayiv and Mitzvah. He's not Jewish. So if he wants to become Jewish, he has to be Megayir all over again. Huh?
You can never become
Megayir. Oh. Oh, so there was a popular shita among the Gaonim, quoted the other day, that the Mumer Enu Zoykek, if a man dies, the man is married, he has no children, and he dies leaving no children, and his surviving brother is a Meshuman who converted to another religion, so the Shita Sagonim is that the Mumer doesn't require Chalitza. The only surviving brother is a Meshumet, there's no need for Chalitza. We really don't paskin like that. But this Shita is quoted Lechumre in Shulchan Aruch, that if the brother who died has two brothers, the man who died has two living brothers, one is a Meshumet who converted to another religion, one is a normal Yid, so we say Lechumre, like the Gainim, only the Yid can do the Chalitza. The one is a Meshumet, maybe Alpidin is a, maybe he can't do Chalitza. So he can't pater the other one from Chalitza. So he needs after the Yid should do the Chalitza. The Meshumet can't do the Chalitza. So L'choshish, for the Shittas HaGadim only L'hachmer. If there are two brothers, one is a Hamer Dosa, one converted to another religion, so he can't do the Chalitza to pater the other. But if there's only one surviving brother, he is a Mumer, so we pass him that a Mumer is Zoykik, that you have to have Chalitza. So there are different explanations given for this Shittas HaGadim. What is it all about? What's Radina does? Why do they... We don't paskin like the Gaonim, but why do they hold that a Mumer ain't a Zoykik if the surviving brother converted to another religion that there's no din of Chalitza? So a popular version of the Shita, there are different versions in the Tshuvas HaGaonim. So half of the Tshuvas HaGaonim say, convert to another religion, Veta Ois Yid, he's not Jewish anymore. That's popularly assumed not to be so. We always say, once a Jew, always a Jew. Yisrael Afal Pishachot Yisrael Hu, that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and the Mems, the Gemara says, and the Gemara says in the middle of Yevamos, if a Nochri converted to become a Jew, and then he doesn't like it, and he converts back to his original religion, so the Gemara says, is Dinu Ki Yisrael Mumer. He has the din like a Jew who converted. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Kiddushin Kiddushin. He's Mekadosh and Isha, a Jewish woman, so the Kiddushin Atopsin. You don't say that he's Dinu Ki Goy. So what are they going to do with that? Gemara said Beferish, a ger who converted to another religion. So let him be a Jew converted to another religion. So why is Kiddushin Kiddushin? So the Goyim say on that Gemara that Kiddushin Kiddushin is only a Chumra Midirabbanan. Minatorah, it's ain't Kiddushin Kiddushin because he's really a Goy. A Jew who converts to another religion is really a goy. If he's mekadosh a Jewish woman, the kedusha anatar tzim anatar. But because maybe someday he'll be chayzer b'tshuva, so then it'll look as if a Jew married a Jewish woman and he didn't require a get. So they said, L'chumim mid rabbanon let the kedusha anatar tzim. That's a wild. That's a shitas hagoyim. Which is the first gemara? The Gemara Yisrael Shechata Yisrael, who is not in the context of converting to another religion. The Gemara says that when Bnei Yisrael were conquering Eretz Yisrael, so the first city they conquered in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun was Yericho. So they were successful in conquering Yericho. But then Yeshua Ben Nun made a cherem on Yericho. Ochan violated the cherem, and he took money and clothing and so on. So then when they fought the battle, the next battle was Ai, so the Jewish people lost the battle. So Yeshua Ben Nun couldn't believe it. The Rebbe Shalom promised there's going to be Benisim and Afloyes. We're not going to lose anything. So he said, what's going on? So the Baruch Shalom said, Chata Yisrael. What do you mean? So the Gemara says, Afal Pishachata Yisrael. So it's not that he converted to another religion. There are a lot of Orthodox Jews who wear tefillin d'rabbeinu tam, and they're very, very strictly Orthodox, and they also come for money from Hegdish. They're still from charity, they're still from a shul. They're Hegdish. They made chair means that everything was Hegdish. And it was very enticing. It was very, it was a lot of money there. So he took the money and he took food and he took clothing. It was worth a lot of money. So it's not, that's not called a mishumen. He didn't convert to another religion. So those who disagree with the Gaonim, they say a Jew who converts to another religion remains Jewish. And they all say, Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisrael. But the Gaonim are not bothered by that Gemara. That's not talking about Shmad. It's not talking about converting to another religion. Ayit utan avera, like the ayit. Okay. So everybody's masking to that. So this opinion is not the generally accepted opinion. We do not accept that opinion. We assume that a Jew who converts to another religion is still Jewish. So what do you do with this? Obviously, Rav Nosson says, and it's quoted in Yerideya, no machlekes, a Jew who converted to another religion and decides he wants to be chayzer b'tshuva, wants to observe mitzvahs again, has to convert. If it's a woman, they just go to the mikveh in the presence of a bezin. And if it's a man, you need hatofas dam bris. You need hatofas dam bris. And he has to be tefillin in the mikveh again. That's what it says in Yeridei.
The korban, that's my son English.
So the goyim hold that obviously Rav Nosson is a real din d'oraisa. And lahalacha we assume it's only a chumra midrabban. It's an interesting chumra midrabban to do hatofas dam bris. If in Atari he doesn't need anything, so there's an issa to mutilate the body. It's an issa to be chayvel the guf, some to cut in order to close bleeding. It's an issa chayvel. And the Rabbanim, they require that he needs Geirah, so he has to do the Hatofas Dambris, and it's not called an Issa Chayvel.
Does he have Yorshim?
Which case does he have Yorshim?
He went
out, he does he have which Yorshim? The Jewish children that he had before.
Yeah.
The way we assume that he remains a Jew all along, that he forfeited his status as a Jew only a make-believe Achumer Midrabbanan, temporarily Midrabbanan, but on the level of the Raisa nothing changed. So we assume all his Jewish relatives are still related. Yeah, nothing changed.
What kind of conversion are you talking about? Because probably the Goyim, as long as the person was baptized, he didn't have to do anything else. As long as he was baptized, they considered him a Goy, him and all his relatives.
Yeah.
Now, as far as from the Jewish
well,
point
as far as we're
view,
concerned with them,
from the Jewish point of view, I mean, you have to have mikveh and prison and everything else. Just because a Jew allows himself to be baptized and he doesn't do anything else, so the Goyim consider him a convert. We consider him a Goy,
yes,
especially
exactly.
Under the circumstances.
Yes, we don't give him an aliyah, we can't be mitzarefim to a minion. We consider him a goy. Until he's misgayer again, we treat him like a goy. And this is we assume this is a chumah midrabbanan. Mikra din d'oraisa, he does not have to convert. He's Jewish, he was Jewish all along. So we assume la'alocha, that whole of Rav Nosson is only a chumah midrabbanan.
The son of Rabbi Gershom Aragoyle, but he died before he managed to reconvert, and Rabbi Gershom was sitting
14 days.
Yeah. 14 days.
Yeah. There are several different versions of what happened. When did he sit Shiva? Rabbi Gershom's son became a Meshumid, and then Rabbi Gershom says sat Shiva. The two versions, 14 days or 7 days. The two versions. So the famous version is 14 days. Kavachem l'shchina yudalagyan. The Gemara has Kavachem l'shchina, and it says 14 days. So the two the Chochmas Adam has in Hilchos Avelus a long he'ora on this about the different versions. And one version is that he sat Shiva 7 days or 40 days when he converted. That's the famous version. That's why people have a meaning that when a cholila, someone in the family converts, or a man marries a shiksa, that's also considered. If a Jewish woman marries a goy, that's not considered the equivalent of conversion because the children are still Jewish. So it's an aveira. But if a Jewish man marries an achriz and they have children, the children are all going. So that's the equivalent of shmat.
Nice.
So we consider the man. It says in Yeridaya that a Jewish man should live with an achriz, that's Yehorek Val Yavar. But a Jewish woman should live with an achriz, that's not Yehorek Val Yavar. That's an aveira. That's like Chilul Shabbos. The Pikuach Nefesh is doicha that. But the Jewish man should live with a shiksa, that's not stam an aveira. That's Yehorek Val Yavar. The Ramah, Paskins like that in Yeridaya, it's a Ramban in the Mohammeds and Sanhedrin and the Sugi of Yehorek Val Yavar makes that distinction. So that's the famous version is that when he sat Shiva when the son became a Meshumet, either 7 days or 14 days, so that's the meaning when a Jewish man marries an Achriz, so we treat it like Shmad and the members of the family observe Avela. So the Chochmas Adam quotes, but there are other versions, not that he sat Shiva when he became a Meshumet, when he died he sat Shiva. And then another version is, of course he sat Shiva 14 days. He sat Shiva 7 days when he converted. And he sat Shiva 7 days when he died. That's the third version. Every Rishon has a different version of the story, exactly what happened. Whether he sat Shiva 7 days or 14 days, and when he sat Shiva. So the Chochmas Adam Dreitzahana. So there is a discussion, there is such a discussion in the Mordechai in Sanhedrin. In the middle of Sanhedrin discusses a family baptize themselves in order to save their lives during the times of the Crusade. It was supposed to be Yehorek Val Yavar. They couldn't be Oymed Ben Yisoyim. And then they baptized a little baby also. It was a little baby Shuldik. The little baby didn't do out of Chirach Hafshis. So then when the parents decide, so the Mishugoyim, the Christians moved on to Eretz Yisrael. So they're not here anymore. So the parents come back to shul, they want to get an aliyah. The father wants to get an aliyah. So they again. Or they say, no, the baby didn't baptize himself, he died. Right? So that's what the Rishonim quote, this Tosefta in Sanhedrin, which is dealing with the Irani Dachas. If you have an Irani Dachas, so the Pasuk says you kill the children. So which children do you kill? They killed all the children, even though they didn't worship Abu Dazara. Did worship Avodah Zarah, if they knew what they were doing. So what's the chiddush? They're not bar mitzvah. That's the chiddush. Normally, you're nishkin bar mitzvah, so you don't give an einish. But the chiddush of Yeri Dachas is that even though they're not bar mitzvah, you treat him like by Bnei Noach. That the Rambam says it doesn't depend on Yud Gimel Shana V'Yamechot. If the person has seichel, so you consider him a bar das. If he doesn't have seichel, but if you baptize a Jewish child and you convert him to another religion, he doesn't have to, a little baby. He doesn't have to undergo any geiris, nothing, not turn nothing, the rabbanon. It's a garnishment garnish.
And ask him when he grows up what he wants to be, the same way that
no,
does the other
no,
way around.
No, we don't ask him. Hatish Kembeir has no choice.
No, it's like all
of them. No, it's a yid. It's a yid.
It doesn't happen.
It's like here, that if you start off with a nochri and you megayer him, so that's an act of zoch v'yodim shloi v'fonov, so you have to find out whether he's happy with the skia. Is he happy or not? But over here, it doesn't matter whether he's happy or not happy. He was born a Jew, he's a Jew, whether he likes it or not. But this can bring it to decide to become a goy. Yeah, in the end of the first perek in Yevamos, the very last off in the first perek in Yevamos, the Gemara has one Amora says, Akum Shekidish Isha Bizman is any goy who walks over to a Jewish girl, gives her a ring, thank you, and says, Hariat Mekudeshesli Choshishin Lekidushin. What's up with our goy? So the Gemara says, why? Because Chashin Hashem Ameyateres HaShvatimu. Maybe this goy who is Mekadeshin Isha is a descendant of Ben Achabas Achabas, not a Ben Achabena. Maybe his mother's mother, all the way back, was Jewish. So maybe he's from Naseres HaShvatim. And then the Gemara says, so to every goy is Mekadosh and Isha, Sofi Kiddush, and maybe it's from Naseres HaShvatim. Then the Gemara says that we don't paskin like that,
yeah,
because the Navi said, "Hashem bagadu kibanim zaram yaladu," that when the Aseret Hashvatim assimilated among the Goyishan nations and they worshipped Avodah Zarah, they lost their identity as Jews, and it's bein lahakol bein lahachna. They're not Jewish, even if they'll be mikadosh and nisha the kedushin anatchal. The Gemara has a lashon lazazim isham. They established a bezin. And the Bezdin didn't budge from the spot until they paskin at shasom ka'akum gemurim l'chol divrein. They paskin that the Aseret Hashvatim lost the kedusha tisor ben l'hakam ben l'achim based on the words of the Novi. Sintrei Yosef, Hashem b'godul, they rejected the Rabban Shalom, kibonim zorim yolodu, they intermarried, they assimilated, is goodbye. So the Goinim apparently understood that that Gemara doesn't only apply to the Aseret Hashvatim. It applies to any Mishumet. It applies to any Jew who becomes a Meshumid, he forfeits the Kedushas Yisrael Ben Lahachman Ben Lahachman. And that's not the generally accepted opinion. We assume it's either a special Hayra Shor by the Aseret Hashvatim only, that doesn't apply to any other instance. That's a Alpi Nevuah, Hayra Shor only, Aseret Hashvatim, or a group of Rishonim hold, including the Rambam and the Pirushan, a group of Rishonim hold. It's not restricted only to the Aseret Hashvatim, any group of Jews, a whole group of Jews, who float away so far from mainstream Judaism that they become so assimilated. So if the Bezin declares, it doesn't happen automatically, if the Bezin declares that that we feel that they floated too far away, so they lose the Kedusha Tisor, because the Gemara has such a lashon in Chulin on Daf Hei regarding the Kusim, that the Kusim used to be religious Jews, but they only followed Torah Shebichtav, they didn't follow Torah Shebaal Peh. So there was such, they floated away so far away from the Tanoim, everything was so different by them. They had their own Shulchan Aruch, everything got, not like Sephardim and Ashkenazim, that we all follow the Gemara, but they have a different Shita. But by the Kusim, everything was in Gansim different. And then they found some of the Kusim were worshipping Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says, on Hagrizit.
Yeah,
so the Gemara says that they established a Bezin, Reb Meir established a Bezin, and the Lezazim Isham, the same Lashon appears in Chul and Daf Hei as appears there in the last daf in the first parak in Yevamim. Lezazim Isham Achatzom Ka'akum Gemurim L'chol Divrein. They declare that the Kusim are not to be considered as Jewish. And that's a big machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. They declare the Kusim are not Jewish. Bein Lahakol Bein Lahachmer. He's not Jewish at all. You can use him as your Shabbos guy, a Kusi. And you can lend him the ribbis. And if he's Mekadosh and Isha, the Kiddushin and Atopsin, and if he dies, it's not Mitami Ba'oil, Mamish Ka'akum, that's how the Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnayis. After they made Pirush HaMishnayis in Nida, the end of Nida, after they declared that the Kusim have a Din Ka'akum, not Mitami Ba'oil, Ben Lahakul Ben Lahachman, the Mamish Goyim Gemur. And in Ebenezer, by Kiddush Akum, Shekiddush Isha and Kiddush Atopsin, so a lot of other, the Mefarshim say, we're not so convinced that everybody follows that Rambam. They quote the Rambam, Dogum Avala and others, the Beis Shmuel, and they say they're not so convinced that that's the general, that that's the consensus of opinion. They think that Rav HaRishonim hold that that pasuk by the Aseret Hashvatim, that's a Hayrah Shor that only applies to Aseret Hashvatim. They forfeited the Kedushas Yisrael. Doesn't apply to any and every Jew who becomes a Meshumet, and it doesn't even apply to a whole group of Jews who float away so far away that they don't look like they're Jewish anymore. It doesn't even apply to them. Only by the Aseret Hashvatim. Right, but we assume that they were Geri Emes. We assume originally they were Geri Emes. Otherwise, Rav Meir wouldn't have to be Geiza Ka'akum. They were never Jewish in the first place. So we assume that the Geris at one time was a valid Geris. And nonetheless, Rav Meir declared they should have the Din of Akum. So that's a shot that he declared that Kusim have the status of Akum Lahachmir. That, what do you mean Lahachmir? If he shech the Beimish, he toss an Avela. Shechitas Kusi is no good even if we're watching, or did he only say no? Dina Ka'akum is Bein Lahakol Bein Lahachman. Was it only Lahachman, or is it Bein Lahakol Bein Lahachman? So that's a big machlokes. How far did he go with that pasuk in the Trei Osa? Vashem Bagodu Kibodim Zorim Yolod. Anyway, that's, so let's get back again. There is an institution of Irni Dachas. We floated away a little too far. There is a Din of Irni Dachas, a Din in the Chumash. The majority of the people, it's a city in Eretz Yisrael, majority of the people worship Avodah Zarah, so you have to burn down the whole city. And you have to kill all of the people who worship Avodah Zarah, and you kill the children who worship Avodah Zarah, you kill the wives if they worship Avodah Zarah. Whoever didn't worship Avodah Zarah, you don't kill them, but their property gets burnt. He burned down the houses of the tzaddikim also. It does mean that they're tzaddikim, not chassidish rebbe tzaddikim. Tzaddik means they didn't worship Avodah Zarah. That's the whole city. They didn't worship Avodah Zarah. Obviously, they don't have any mezuzah on their doors. If they would have one mezuzah, the whole city wouldn't become an Imani Dachas. The tzaddikim, the way we use the expression Zainizainish, the tzaddikim means that they didn't worship Avodah Zarah. So the pasuk says there, when you burn down the whole city, you're not allowed to take anything. You're not allowed to take anything from the Irini Dachas. So the Gemara takes that pasuk to be a loisa, say, not only that you're not allowed to get hanoah from any nichsei Irini Dachas, you're not allowed to get hanoah from any dover shel Avodah Zarah. The Chumash is declaring that the nichsei Irini Dachas are labeled as a dover shel Avodah Zarah, and any dover shel Avodah Zarah is also b'hanoah. There happens that there is another pasuk that says, the Gemara in Makkos, the Gemara in Pesach, the Gemara in Beitza has another pasuk that says, Loisavi Sayeva El Beisecher. And the Gemara says, it doesn't only mean you're not permitted to bring a Ta'eva means Avodah Zarah. In the context of that pasuk, in different psukim, the word Ta'eva means different things. Sometimes Ta'eva goes on Mishkav Zohar, sometimes it goes on Mishkav Behema, sometimes Ta'eva goes on Avodah Zarah. So in that pasuk, it means, Loisavi Sayeva El Beisecher, you're not allowed to bring in a Dovish of Avodah Zarah, Getchke, into your home, but also included in the pasuk is you're not allowed to get Hanoah from a Dovish of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, one who has, let's say, atzei asherah, logs of Avodah Zarah, and he gets hanoah, it's winter time and it's cold, and he burns the logs in the furnace, and he warms himself, or he cooks some food with it. So the Gemara says he gets a double malchus. One malchus because he violated loisavi sayeva el beisecha, he got hanoah from Avodah Zarah. The other malchus because he violated layidbak biyotchem u'umam en acherim, which the original context of the pasuk goes on here and idachas. But the mashmos, the Gemara understands mashmos of the pasuk is that we declare all nichsei irini dachas is labeled as a dover shel Avodah Zarah, and there's an isa hanoah, and all dvarim shel Avodah Zarah. So one who gets hanoah from Avodah Zarah is lo kishtayim. So that's what the Gemara goes on here. If you have a gachela shel Avodah Zarah, there's an Avodah Zarah, and they have a coal, and the coal is also b'hanoah. Why is the coal also b'hanoah? Either the goyim worship the coal, so it's the Avodah Zarah in person, it's the Dovish al Avodah Zarah Zasamano, or it's a Tekruvis, they offer this in front of the Avodah Zarah as a korban, as a matana, or it's Tachshit the Avodah Zarah, Noy Avodah Zarah, one or the other. Just because they use the coals to warm up the church that the Mispavlim shouldn't catch pneumonia, that doesn't make it Asabano. That's for the Tashmish of Chol, that the Mispavlim shouldn't get sick. That's not called Avodah Zarah Zasamano, means either the actual Avodah Zarah itself that they deify, that they worship, or it's the Tekruvis of Avodah Zarah, it's not Avodah Zarah. So if you have a Gachel, Shel Avodah Zarah, it's also Ba'anoah, and whoever is Nene is like Ishtayim, you get twice Malkus. Once for this Pasuk, Le'yibirach B'yadcham Yom Menachem, once for the other Pasuk, of Le'savi Sa'eb El Be'secha. But if you only have a Shalheva Shel Avodah Zarah, let's say there's a flame that's burning in the church, and someone needs a fire in his house, so he goes and he lights a candle from the Dovah Shel Avodah Zarah, goes to the house, so it says that that's Mutar. And it doesn't say Leinan of Leinan. It doesn't say that it's also Lechatchila, but for the Yevid you don't get Malkus. It just says it's Mutter.
Can warm up.
Huh?
Can warm it. Warm
it's permissible Lechatchila. It's a light. You're not allowed to stand by the Shalhevi, Shalavadi Zor, and you warm yourself. You're getting Hanoah from the Avodah Zarah. But if you light another flame from that, and you go to your home, and you light logs, and you burn logs, that's Mutter Lechatchila. So the Gemara is going to ask, why is there a difference? The next line, the Gemara is going to ask, why is it by Avodah Zarah is mutar lachatchila to light another flame from the shalhevi shel Avodah Zarah, and by hegdish it's also lachatchila just b'dieved, ain by din me'ila. At the beginning of the Bai Sheni.
Beginning
of Bai Sheni, the pasuk in Zechariah says that they trapped the Risha. They trapped the Risha in a metal box and they locked it up and they controlled it. So the Gemara says that they were Anshik Nes HaGdoyle, who were at the beginning of the Tzufas Bai Sheni, were Mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to Koyach HaTfilo, they were Mevatel the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. And from that time on started a different...
Avodah Zarah now that you're talking about, that since the 45...
There is still Avodah Zarah. There's lots of Avodah Zarah. There's Avodah Zarah in Washington Heights, yeah. But it's not a Yetzirah that it's such a Hano and such a Taiva. There are lunatics that worship Avodah Zarah all over the world. In Eretz Yisrael, in Afghanistan, in America. On the east side, when we used to go shopping for shoes for my children, there was always a storefront where they used to burn incense upon request. You walk in, they'll burn incense for some other desire. And the guys in the dormitory say that for years they used to, when they kept the windows open, there was some Nochri who lived on, what's it called, the terrace there.
Laurel Hill Terrace.
They said they could look into his window on Laurel Hill Terrace. It was burning psalmim for Avodah Zarah every day.
What Avodah Zarah?
Self-place Avodah Zarah. There are many Avodah Zarahs in the world. I don't know. In India, in Pakistan.
He wasn't burning it for his own pleasure.
No, for a religious ritual on the east side there. For religious Avodah Zarah. Christianity is, for us, for sure, it's Avodah Zarah. The machlokes that the Pasuk have is shituf for us is avodah zarah. Shabbos for a nochri. If a non-Jew worships the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and he holds that there's a board of directors over there, but they believe in the same God that we believe in, the Father's Avinu Shabbat Shalom, same God we believe in, but they hold that there's a vice president also, there's a Son and the Holy Ghost also. So that's the question. But sof kol sof they believe in the invisible God that we believe in, plus shutfim. So there's a Loshin in Taisus and Sanhedrin and Mchairis, but Taisus has a Loshin. The Goyim are not Muza on that. Luhuzer Akach. So a group of Achrayim, the Ramo and the Shach and some major Achrayim understood, misunderstood, or understood whatever, they held La Loche that that's not called Avodah Zarah for a Goy. So if I sell a Goy a prayer book, then he should pray to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm not Oivan Lifni either, because for Zay does in Ishkin Avera. But for us, for sure, it's Avodah Zarah. If a Jew will worship the Trinity, that will be Avodah Zarah. And the Pashtus is for the Goyim also. The Rav said that his grandfather Abchaim held that that psak of the Ramah and the Shach was Kishkoga Hayotzim Elifnei Hashalit. He said that that's not Pshat and Taisus. The Pshat and Taisus is like the later Achrayim say. Taisus said, and Gantz is a different thing, but in Erech not Muza, not to swear in the name of the Trinity. They didn't say to worship the Trinity is Mutta for Bnei Noach. They said if you swear in the name of the Trinity, so that's not a violation for the Bnei Noach. But they didn't mean to worship. To worship the Trinity is Avodah Zarah by Zeh.
Plus you put on a noon and then there's that mass where the Pope is a mass in the church. And maybe the Tzidbach will install the terms of Avodah Zarah in your house.
The Rav used to say that just like we're not permitted to walk into a church, you're not permitted to take the church into your home. And he said that the Catholic Church has Hot Kepaskin that you can be Yotzei Mass by watching on television in your home. So he said, if they say that you say that means that they hold that that's a religious ritual by listening at home. So he said, if a Jew watches Mass on television in his home, so he's over on the Isser of Avodah Zarah, he's participating, because that's what they said. They set up, they hold that that's considered participation.
Yeah.
He's very upset. He said when Kennedy was assassinated and all the Jews were watching the funeral, and he said it was gefährlich. The funeral took place in a church, and they were having a religious ceremony. So he said, this time of the year, December 25th, they always have the rituals on the television. So he said that's a real issue, not to watch the television at that time.
When you watch the news, you get caught in something like that.
That's the Gemara has a lesson that the Jews who live in Chutz Lawrence are obli Avodah Zarah b'taharahei. They worship Avodah Zarah b'shegig without even realizing it. But a little bit, it's softened because Taisus points out the first daf in Avodah Zarah in every couple of blot that the Nochrim Shebechutz Lord, the Gemara's Lashon, Akim Shebechutz Lord, are only Minigav Hasein B'Yadayim. They themselves don't know what they don't really know what they're doing either. It's just Minigav Hasein B'Yadayim. A lot of the Eden who worship the Jewish religion also don't know what they're doing. It's just Minigav Hasein B'Yadayim. But Taisus says that they're not so frum. They're not so frum, yeah.
But you have the Buddhists in the Far East. They are real Avodah Zarah.
Adukim Avodah Zarah. Yeah. See, here the Gemara is, the Gemara quotes a Tosefta and Beis, so it has five differences between the Gacheles and the Shalev. Mishnah only has three, about Chumen, and about Me'ilah B'Hegdash, and about Hoitzoh on Shabbos. And the Tosefta has five. The first is Chumen, the second is Hegdash, Me'ilah, the third is Avodah Zarah. The fourth is Hoitzoh on Shabbos, that's the same as the Mishnah. And then Hamoitzeh Gacheles Shusiram Chayv shall have his potter, that's the same as the Mishnah. And then the fifth one in the Tosef is a tiny letter Dalet, Hamuda Hanoah Mechaveroi. If I took a letter not to get Hanoah from someone else, I'm not allowed to get Hanoah from any of his property. So if he has coals and I'm going to get Hanoah from the coals, so that's a violation of the neder. What if he has a candle burning? That the flame belongs to him. Yeah, the flame is his. I'm not allowed to walk off it, the candle or the flame. Okay. But if I light another flame I have another candle. I light it from that flame and I walk away. I'm not allowed to get on off in this flame. The flame is, he doesn't have a copyright on the flame. It's not his flame. Because the Shalheves is a mamash. Then the Gemara asks the Kasha, why is there a difference between the Avodah Zarah and the Hegdash? Frag the Gemara Kasha and the Tosefta. Maishna Shalheves, the Avodah Zarah, the Sharia, by Avodah Zarah, he said, is Mutal Chatchila, to light a flame from the flame of the Avodah Zarah. And how come Maishna the Hegdash the Asir? How come a Hegdash is said, Leinen of Leimarlin? That Lachatchila there is an Issa the Rabbanah. So why didn't they make an Issa the Rabbanah by Avodah Zarah also? It's also to get an offer from Avodah Zarah. So they should have made Xer the Rabbanah. You're not allowed to light a candle from the flame of the Avodah Zarah. And for the Gemara, Avodah Zarah didn't the Issa Yidin have an aversion. They stay away from Avodah Zarah. Ubedeli in Shemini, all the Jews are Nivdal. They stay far away from Avodah Zarah. The Chacham didn't feel it necessary to make a chumrah with the Rabbanon. But I need a chumrah to be misrachik from Avodah Zarah. The Jews know you're misrachik. The Gemara says in the first parak of Avodah Zarah, they quote a passage from Mishlei. And Mishlei is all al derech ha-moshel. Love and moshel and melitza. So Mishlei says, you have to stay far away from a Pesach-based zoynos. You have to stay away from the home of a prostitute. So that's the moshel that's given. And what's the nimshal? So the dimshal is Avodah Zarah, that you're not allowed to walk even Tochtal Adam, just like you're not allowed to walk Tochtal Adam of a Beis Zayna, you're not allowed to walk Tochtal Adam of a church, of a base Avodah Zarah. So the Yidden stay so far away, we don't come anywhere near Avodah Zarah. So there's no need to make a Chumrah Midi Rabbanah. I remember once I was walking with Rabbeinu Shvinkel Zalchan Al-Racha, walking to Davin by the Kaisel Amaravi, Erev Shabbos. So when you walk in the street there, I already forgot where it was, somewhere in the old city as we were walking towards the Kaisel Amaravi. So the churches are both sides of the street. So he didn't want to walk Tochtal Adam of a church. At first he's walking on the left side of the street. Then there's a church coming out, walks to the right side of the street. Then the church coming out goes to the left side. So he kept on going like a shikah from the right to the left, to the right to the left. That's what it says in Yeridei. They quote the Gemara in the first paragraph of Avodah Zarah based on a pasuk in Mishlei. It should be Misrachik Dalar Amos from the Pesach Beis Avodah Zarah. The real monasteries and real churches there. As you walk in the old city towards the Makom HaMikdash.
You said something before. I was clear up until the time you just said this. You said as far as the fire from Moda Hano, you said he has no copyright. He doesn't own the flame. So the person who takes the flame, if that same flame will ignite
right.
B'negeit
Nezikin, the din is that the Baal Ha'esh is chayev. The Baal Ha'esh doesn't necessarily have to mean he's the owner of the Esh. He's the one who's responsible for the Esh. Taisa says in Bava Kama, and that's Sugya and Afkabes in Bava Kama, Isha Mishum Amono, Eish Hamazik is Maman Hamazik. It's not like Rashi says the Gachelis belongs to me. Taisa says no. If I take someone else's Gachelis and I make a fire, it's also Isha Mishum Amono. How is it my Maman? It's my moment by virtue of the fact that I am responsible for the hezek. Let's say I dig a bore in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim. So it says, Bala Bor Yishalem. How am I the Bala Bor? It's in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim. Doesn't belong to me. Asiyas HaBor. So that's what Tesis carries over. Asiyas HaHezek Shalesh makes me, gives me the label as the Bala Eish. Because I did the Asiyas HaHezek Shalesh. I don't have to be the Bala Eish and Didi Mominis to be called the Bala Eish, Bala Beira. The Bailim of Asiyas HaMazik is also called the Bailim for Nezikin purposes. So B'negeit Tumuda Ano, it's only Yosef Bano, I took a net and not to get on off many of his property. It's only if it's his property. If it's not his property, isn't it? So that's what the Gemara explained. They didn't see a need to make Exeira de Rabbanim by Avodah Zarah. The Jews stay away from Avodah Zarah. But the Beis HaMikdash, they don't run away from Beis HaMikdash. They run to the Beis HaMikdash. They're going to know not to be Moel Behegdash, but they may get carried away. So if you'll allow them to light flames from the Shalhevish, Shal Beis HaMikdash, from Hegdish, one thing may lead to another. So there they, and then they may get anor from the Gachelas, which is a Dov Sheish Mal Mamish. So that's what the Gemara says. Hegdish, the Lomoy is, Hegdish is not Mo'us, people run to the Beis HaMikdash. But B'devi in Shemineh, people don't run away from the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, Gozer of the Rabbana, they were Gozer of the Rabbana. Now the Gemara chep is the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, and the Tosefta said, we just said, that one is only in violation of Hoytzoh on Shabbos if he carries a gachel as a coal. But if he carries in the street the shalhev as the flame, means I have a fire burning over here. Somehow I cause part of the flame. If I extinguish the whole flame, is a malach of kibui. So he causes a whole chunk of the flame to fly out in the street and to separate, and it's floating around in the street till it gets extinguished. That's not a violation of Hoytzoh, because the Dabba Shemba Mamish. Craig Digmar, but there's a Tosefta in Shabbos. That's a Mishnah here in Beitzah and a Tosefta in Beitzah. Craig Digmar, I will Hatanya, but we have a Tosefta in Masechah Shabbos that says, Amotzi Shalevis Kol Shehu Chayev. If you carry a Shalevis in the street, you are Chayev, and there's no Shear, because the Mishnahis and Shabbos have two Prokim. It says if you carry vegetables, how much volume of vegetables do you have to carry? If you carry tea, how much tea does it have to be? Carrying wine, how much wine? Carry wood. He carried metal, if he carried chaspa, cheres. So the Gemara is going to discuss how he carried the shalom. The Gemara is going to work on it. But the writer, so the answer is, how did he, once you know the answer to that, then you know the answer, when is it chai, when is it pata. But first the Gemara frek tastira. The Tosefta, the Mishnah, the Tosefta, they to say that there's no prohibition of carrying a shalheves. And the Tosefta and Shabbos says that it's chayev chatas. It's chayiv misa. You carry a shalheves on Shabbos, it's chayiv misa. So it's a stira. So the answer is, how did he succeed in carrying the shalheves? There are different ways. So sometimes it'll be yesh mamamish and sometimes not. So here it says, hamotzi shalheves kolshu, that there is no minimum shear. That's what kolshu means. That by hoitzoh, there are two prokim in Shabbos, boring details. What did you carry? Did you carry leather? Did you carry paper? Did you carry parchment? And how big does each item have to be? That should have chashivas. There should be a violation of Hoytzoh. But if he carried shalheves, kol shu, even if it's a very tiny flame, that's enough to be chayv, and you are chayv. You're chayv to malacha deraisa. So it's in contradiction to our sources. And for the Gemara, it depends what it is. If you carry a shalheves that's not attached to anything, there is a flame, and somehow I slice the flame. Part of the flame is still burning here, and the rest of the flame is floating a little bit until it gets extinguished. So that's when it's ein bo mamish, and you're not chayiv. But if you have a flame, let's say, on a emphatigmara, amarav sheis kagon shatzio bikisim, he has a little piece of wood, and that wood has a flame on it. So since the flame is held on to something, it's not just floating in midair, so that's called the dav sheish bo mamish, nufreg digmara. So why does the Tosefta pull the wool over our eyes? The Tosefta says that you're chayiv for carrying a flame. The flame. Let's say no flame, but you're carrying the piece of wood. So even if the piece of wood would not have a flame on it, it's an Isaraitzah on the wood. Possibility, that's what Tosis talks about. That's what Tosis talks about. Akasha. So Igmar gives a different answer. Tosis asks, why did Igmar give that answer? Tosis asks, why? There is a din, if you carry a person on Shabbos who is able to walk on his own, if you carry a person who sits in a wheelchair, he can't walk, kofus or chayle, then it's an Isar Haitzor. And in fact, some of the Gedolim say, let's say such a person who's an invalid goes on a wheelchair, he pushes himself on a wheelchair, he's Orban Haitzor on his own body. He's carrying himself because he can't walk. He can't say chayle, say satsu. So he's Orban Haitzor on his own body. Dying Roshan says such a tshuva. He discusses that talk. I think Rav Moshe assumes not so. That a person goes on a wheelchair, you can't say Haitzor on yourself. So the Gemara has it then, let a human being, a person who can walk on his own, and you carry him, so that's not going to be an Issa deraisa. Sometimes, because he could have walked on his own. So let's say the person is on a chair, let's say they're carrying a chosin and dancing, chosin kala, dancing in the street, but the chosin, and there's no erev, so they're carrying the chosin. So the chosin can walk on his own, so there's no Issa deraisa, but they're carrying a chair. So the Mishnah says, that's the Gemara that he says, the Mishnah says there, there's no violation of Haitzah on the chair, because the mito is tfeilo to the chai, and the chai is nice as satsman. There's no prohibition of Haitzah on the chai, so there's no prohibition of Haitzah on the mito as well. So that's what he, midderaisa, yes. And midderabonon, usually there is an isa Haitzah even on the chai. Even on the person without the chair, there's an isa Haitzah to carry a person even though he can walk on his own. What under a candlestick?
Under the
buses. Yeah. There is a bus davar also, that is correct. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
The Barossa. The horse is the Barossa.
I don't get the Dimion exactly. I don't know. I don't get the Dimion. Anyway, so Taisa discussed that kasha. Why did the Gemara say over here? The Gemara says, "V'tepiklei mishum kisvim." If he's carrying the flame, is on a stick. So the Gemara says, "Not the Tosefta says in Masechus Shabbos that yichayv and haitzua on the flame, even though it's kosher." So say the Gemara, "Dami hacha the flame. Let him yichayv for carrying the stick." So the Gemara answers, "But leis b'shura. The stick doesn't have the minimum shear of wood because the Mishnah says the snan is the Mishnah Shabbos." How much wood do you have to carry that it should be a kashir? You have to carry so much wood that it would be enough to burn a fire long enough till it will cook a chicken's egg. The different eggs take different amounts of time to cook. So the easiest egg that one can cook is a chicken's egg, a hen's egg. So you need so much wood. So if you have a kisim that's so small, so you're not chayban haitzo on the kisim, but you have a flame that's being held on nechaz on the kisim, so then the shalhevis is called yesh b'mam. So you ask aguta kasha, that's Taisa's kasha. Why not say the shalhevis, why not say the kisim is bottled to the shalhevis? So that's why there's no haitzor. That's why there's no haitzor on the kisim. That's why the tesef that is say that there's haitzor on the shalhevis. That's aguta kasha. So Taisa works on it. Yeah. So that's the first answer that the Gemara gives. That's Rav Sheshes' answer. Rav Sheshes says he's carrying the tesef in Shabbos. It says that one who carries a shalhevis is over on haitzor, means the shalhevis is held on to a kisim. Abai gives a different answer. When the shaitin mona mishka, he carried a kli, he's carrying a some kind of a cup or something, and there's oil on the outside of the kli, and he puts a torch to the oil, and the whole thing catches flame, and he's carrying the kli in the street. So since the flame, the same answer as Abai, since the flame is held on to something, so that's called the davar sheyesh bo mamash. When does it say in the Mishnah if you carry shalhevis you're not chayiv if it's not held on to anything? Just the flame itself is floating. How did exactly did he carry that? That's what I was going to talk about. But if the flame is held on to something, then you are chayiv. So Rashi says, isn't it the same as Rav Sheshes? Rav Sheshes and Abai said the exact same thing. If the flame is held on to a little kisim, to a little twig, or the flame is held on to the outside of a kli because you smeared oil on the outside, whatever it's held on to, it makes the flame into a davar sheyesh bo mamash, into a tangible thing. So what's the difference between Rav Sheshes and Abai? So Rashi suggests it looks like Abai is chaylik on Rav Sheshes. Rashi writes over here, the small lines going into the long lines in Rashi. So he says, avol bekisim lo sfir la Abai. Abai does not agree with what Rav Sheshes said, the mishum the mu'atum, and my lechabai said doesn't count. Rashi suggests, Rashi has two pshat. So the first part of Rashi suggests is that Abai is chaylik and Rav Sheshes, he holds that it's held on to a kisim, that's not enough. It has to be held on to something more significant than a kisim. So it's held on to the outside of a mana, a kli, so that's more significant. Okay. So along the lines of Rav Sheshes, with a slight difference between the two. Fegdimar again, the same kasha. So what does the Tosefta and Shabbos have to say? That if you carry a cup that has oil shmir on the outside and there's a flame that caught on the oil, you chayv for haitzor on the flame, dal mihocha the flame. He carried a cup in the street, so let it be a chayv haitzor on the cup. The tefiklei mishum mana, he carried the cup. Everything more, scratch out the word mana. Not that he carried a cup, the chaspa. Chaspa means there's a piece of clay, earthenware, that it has no chshivis. It has no chshivis. So that's why there's no haitzor on the clay, on the earthenware, a crack dish, let's say, and it has oil on it. So that's the haitzor, it's because of the flame. Frek the Gemara, but if you carry chaspa, if you carry a broken dish, it's also chayiv. The tepiklei mishum chaspa, not only is it an isur haitzor, if you carry a mana, a kli, shalem, if you carry a piece of earthenware, chaspa is also chayiv. And for the Gemara, the relate, the shiura, if you carry cheres, it has to have a minimum shear. This non, as it says in the Mishnah Masech Shabbos, cheres, how much earthenware do you have to have that it should be a shear haitzor? The Mishnah gives by paper and by wood and by wine and by water and by schnapps, each oichal lamashke, and each thing has a different shear. So it says cheres is kedelitim patsim lachaber divrei Yudah. Rashi explains they used to have a frame of a window, so they used to put in cheres on the bottom, in between one side and the other, and used to put cheres on the side and on top. The whole frame used to be made from cheres. So if you have enough cheres, if you carried enough cheres to put bein patsim, patsim really means when you have a tzuras ha-pesach, you have the frame of a door, you have the mezuzah on one side, mezuzah on the other side, those are called the patsimim. Those are called the patsimim. So if you carry over that concept to a window, so the patsimim are the two
vertical
side frames, and if you have enough cheres to fill in the space, and it depends how wide the window is. So what do you mean, how much? It means that there was a standard size window, Daphne, this in archaeology. What was the standard size window in the days of the Tanaim? I don't know. The Sama, they have books on this. So normal size when the Sama, and they have books on construction. What are the state regulations? What size the windows have to be? Some of their rules and regulations. So whatever was a normal size window, if you carry so much cheres to put in between one patsim and the other, that's a shear for hitzos. He was talking, he's carrying a cheres that's so tiny that it doesn't have a shear cheres to have an iso hitzos on the cheres, but he smeared on oil on the cheres and he caught it aflame. So he's chaybo hitzos on the shalheves. The same as Rav Shesh, along the same line. So Frek Digmarta, what's pshat in the Mishnah, the Tosefta here, that says if you carry a shalheves on Shabbos, you're not chayev? What do you do with our Mishnah? What's the shalheves? What's the case? How do you carry a shalheves? It's not held on to anything. And with the Gemara, he somehow succeeded in slicing the flame, and part of the flame he blew away, and it's floating away, and it's going to extinguish. Kegon, the Adi Yadu Yerushasram. By Yadu Evanbi, Rashi says, to throw. He floats the flame into the street. So that's a double shame by Mamish, and that you're not
crying.
Huh?
He flicks the flame.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the two? Why? You consider one as a double shape or what's the other one?
In the Tzius?
In the Tzius, it's the same flame one has.
If it's held on to something, it's held on to something, so then the flame is called the Dovish Yesh B'Majah. The flame is not held on to anything, then it's only Lichobos. But it's going
to... In the old case, it's holding on, so it has to have fuel for birth.
Yeah.
So what's the difference if I'm carrying out a little piece of pit and it's the same flame? I'm not tied on the toothpick, I'm tied on the flame.
Right.
It's the same flame. So what's the difference if it's something that I cut off or something I'm holding with the toothpick? Why should it be different?
I don't know. That's what the Gemara declares, that if it's an intangible thing, then it's a Dov Shem Mamish, then there's no violation of Hoytzor. But if the flame is held on to something, I treat the flame as if it's tangible. Yeah, I don't know. The flame is the same. But if it's held on to something, then the halacha declares it as a Dov Shem Mamish. It's a halachic principle.
It came out the same. There is no shear in both cases.
On the flame, there's no shear.
Yeah. No, but there's no shear for the keli either.
Yeah, there's no shear for the kis and no shear for the keli. That's why there's no hait so on that.
Yeah.
But on the flame, you don't need a shear. There's a motzi shalavus kol shehu is chayiv. Yeah.
Many differences in control. If I can control, if I hold on to something, I'm controlling it, then therefore it should be. But if I just float the flame,
without something,
it's like
another flame.
It's not a davshesh b'mamish. It's not tangible, the Gemara says. He argues even if it is held onto something, but the something is tangible, but the flame is not tangible. So the halacha considers the flame as tangible then, even though it's not, since it's held onto something. So we declare that the flame is also considered yesh b'mamish. Yeah, it's considered as if it were tangible. Yeah. The next Mishnah is regarding Tchumen, right? It's also talking about Tchumen. Next Mishnah is also Tchumen. But the next sugya is really going to be from Bav Metzia. It's really going to be Bav Metzia and Adorim declaring Gini Mamonis. Who is the Bailam on the Mamonis? So maybe we'll start it and then we'll continue in the, later. Tomorrow night I'm going to Eretz Yisrael for 10 days. So next week I won't be here. I won't be able to give a Shia. But the week after we'll continue. So we'll start now. Barshal Yochid. A private person has a well in his backyard, so it's full of water. So that's the Sochet Shabbos Mishnah. Habayim about Kelim Kirag Le'abayim. Since I have a Tchum Yontif, we're talking about Yontif here, I have a Tchum, so the water in the well is my water, belongs to me, it's Gzela, no one else is allowed to take my water without my permission. So it has the same Tchum as me. That's Habor Shal Yochid, a privately owned well. So the water in the well, Kirag Le'Yochid, has my Tchum, so I give permission.
The contents of the bowl.
Right, the water in the well has the same tchum as I have. So if a neighbor comes and asks me, they want some water, they can take water, but they can only carry it to a tchum sheli. What about Shal Anshei Oysa Ho'ir? What if the municipality has a well that belongs to the city? So the halacha says that everything in the city, let's say city hall, there's a shul in the city, there's a mikveh in the city. So the halacha says that all of the property in the city is considered nichsei shutzim. It's considered a shutzim. So what are shutzim? All of the citizens of the city. The people who live there permanently, who pay taxes and so on, so they're all considered shutzim in the property. If a person lives there for 50 years, then he moves out, that's always shutzim. He has no right to sell the share to someone else. It's al-pidin, belongs to all the toshavei ho'ir, whoever toshavei ho'ir are. So if shel anshei oisa ho'ir, if the well belongs to the municipality, so then it has the din, kiragli anshei oisa ho'ir, has the tchum of all of the, let's say, if normally all the people in the city have the same tchum. What says, because if you have a city, al-pidin, a city. Mm-hmm. How do you determine whether it's a city or it's not a city? So they're dinim and erudim. You have to figure that out. Not so easy. It has to have a minimum population. It has to have a certain layout. It has to be constructed in a certain fashion. That's the shaylach of Bizman Hazeh. The Marsham talks about Bizman Hazeh. They don't construct cities that conform to the way they used to be made in the days of the Tanoim.
That's right.
So that's the shaylach. So everyone who lives in the city should only be allowed to go alpine mam around his house. There's no longer a din that the whole city is kedalat amas domi. So this, we assume that the din still applies. It's a question, why is it so? Because they don't construct, they have to have chatzeres and batim. They don't make any chatzeres anymore. So that's a problem. But what's the din if you have a city? So all the people in the city have the same tchum. What is the tchum? The Rashi writes on the Mishnah, Kiragli also here, Alpai Mamel Chalruach, Chutzli Burishalir. There's a din of Burishalir, that's how we paskin, and the Ramo quotes that Laloch in Hilchas Shabbos. Burishalir is 71 amas. Shiva Mama Vishiram 70 plus, between 70 and 71 Amis. So let's say first you have the houses of the city. The city, let's say, sprawls out, a mess all over the place. Looks like an amoeba shape, let's say. We once discussed it. No? Yeah. So you take the northernmost house and you draw a line. If the city is approximately in the shape of a rectangle, they just fill in the rectangle, and that's called the city limit. If the city is in an amoeba shape, and it doesn't look like you can draw the rectangle like this, like anything. It doesn't lend itself to dafke, this kind of rectangle as opposed to that. So then Halacha says you draw it lefi ruchas oilam. You draw northeast, southwest, you make it into a rectangle. And then you have 70 amas outside of the rectangle. It's called the burish aliyah, like an isha mulber is pregnant. So her belly sticks out, so the city sticks out a little bit extra. And then you have alpaiman outside, past the 70 amas. And the 70 amas are past the city limits, the lines that you drew. That's the Rashi, that's the way the Ramah passes. Chabad doesn't exactly say like that, but the Ramah quotes this Rashi. So all the people who live in the city, that's the tchum for all of those people. What if the well is Sha'oli Bovel? When they came back after Gol is Bovel, and they built the second day Samigdash, so they were going to have all the people were going to be oil. There weren't so many people. Mm-hmm. 45,000 people, and there weren't so many people there in the Bay Shady. But they were scattered around, so in order to make it easier for the pilgrims to travel on the highway, so you have to carry a lot of water with you to travel in Eretz Yisrael, so they made boros. There's a Mishnah about Pasig Biros, the second parak in Eretz. So they made boros that were on the highway. Sometimes they were smack in the middle of the highway. If they made sense, it would be on the side of the highway, then you can fall in the middle of the bor. So they had these wells that would collect the rainwater. So who's the owner of that water in that well? Who does that belong to? Shall Ole Bovel, the Beirus on the highway that were instituted by the Ole Bovel when they came back and they built the Bay Sheni, so that is Hefker. That water is not a Shutfis of all of Klal Yisrael. That water is Hefker. And Kol HaKadim Zohar, that's Kiragle HaMemale. Because we pass Kanichse Hefker, not Kaneshvisa. If the din would have been like Rebbe Echad and Ben Nuri, like we had on the previous daf, so where the well is, so it has a tchum around the well, but the Mishnah is against. That's where I think Rashi writes, because we don't pass him. He says relatedly to Rabbi Yechanan, the Mishnah doesn't hold like Rabbi Yechanan ben Nuri. Rashi writes Rabbi Yechanan, it's not Rabbi Yechanan the Amor, it's Rabbi Yechanan ben Nuri the Tana. The Mishnah goes against Rabbi Yechanan ben Nuri, who says that the water in the well is kind of shvisa where it is. The Mishnah says wrong, we don't follow him. Whoever is Zeichem, the water is Hefker. Whoever is Zeichem and a Hefker, now it's his. And now the din sets in. So if this traveler on Yontav, he's walking and he's carrying all of his things with him, and he's kind of the water, so whatever his tchum is, so that becomes the tchum of the water. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to get involved in details of Dini Mammon, is who is the owner, who is the owner, what's the din of Zach Liadim Shalev. It's going to be an interesting subject. There's an interesting famous pasuk in today's Seder that when Yaakov Avinu gives all the brachas, he tells those brachas to all the children, and then it says that he gave brachas to the two grandchildren. The only two grandchildren he gave, he had a lot of grandchildren. The only two were Ephraim and Menashe, and he gives them a bracha. When we bless our children today, we say Simchalin Kefraim and Menashe, because that's what Yaakov Avinu said. What did he single out dafke these? Why not the other grandchildren, or why not his children? Yes. Why didn't he say Yehuda, Yosef? Why did he only say on these grandchildren?
Up in Egypt, up in Eretz Yisrael.
So that's what many of the Sfarim say, such an idea. That a Jewish parent is always concerned that he wants his children to go B'derech HaTorah. And even if we give a Jewish education to our children, we're always nervous what's going to be when they go to high school, when they go to college, when they get married. Are they still going to be religious? You go to a wedding, so you're concerned. I go to weddings of Talmidim, so I'm sometimes I'm very happy, sometimes I'm nervous. I see that they're going to be go b'derech haTorah. Sometimes I'm nervous. Maybe they're not going to go b'derech haTorah. That's what people are always concerned. So Yanker Rabinu saw that all of his children, all the grandchildren except for these two, they were all brought up. They knew the grandfather, Yitzchok. They knew him. They had a very sheltered life. They were brought up in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz HaKodesh, with the Hashpah, Yeshiva, Yankov, Azeda, father and uncles and aunts, all from, everybody all around was all from an isolated society. So of course they were all religious. But the mythos was that these two children, Yosef's children, were brought up in a Goyish community. And he was Korav LaMalchus, and they went to school together with the Goyish kids there in school, and they held by Yiddishkeit. So he gave a bracha to them. B'choy Baruch Yisrael. The parents should always give a bracha to their children. You should grow up to be frum. You should maintain Yiddishkeit even under difficult circumstances, like Ephraim and Menashe did. That's what we all hope. That's what we all pray for.